Jeremiah chapter 15, beginning in verse 10. Woe to me, my mother, that you have borne me. He's saying, I'm just kind of sorry I was ever born. A man of strife, a man of contention to all the land. He said, nobody likes me. I have neither lent, nor have I lent money, or nor have men lent money to me. He said, I don't owe anybody, they don't owe me. Yet everyone curses me. And the Lord said, surely I will set you free for purposes of good. Surely I will cause the enemy to make supplication to you in time of disaster and in a time of distress. Can anyone smash iron from the north, or bronze, your wealth and your treasures? I will give you the booty without cost, even for all your sins and within all your borders. Then I will cause your enemies to bring it into the land you do not know. For a fire has been kindled in my anger, it will burn you up. Verse 15. Lord, remember me. Take notice of me. You ever felt like saying that to the Lord when you're praying? Hey, Lord, you remember I'm down here? I was reading a story of one guy who wrote a thing, and he was sharing in the story his distress about praying and not feeling that God was answering. And in the story, he said he looked up under the heavens and he said, God, are you really there? And in the story, the sky answers back and says, no address known. You ever feel that way? You just talk to God and talk to God and talk to God, and you just wonder, do I really have His address? Or has He moved on somewhere else? And that's exactly what Jeremiah is saying. He said, remember me. Take notice of me. And take vengeance for me on my persecutors. Do not, in view of thy patience, take me away. Know that for thy sake I have endured. Thy words are found and I ate them. And thy words became for me a joy and delight in my heart. For I have been called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I did not sit in the circle of merrymakers, nor did I exult because thy hand upon me. I sat alone, for thou didst fill me with indignation. Why has my pain been perpetual and my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will thou indeed be with me? Like a deceptive stream with water that is unreliable. I want to stop right there, but the main part is what's going to come next. Now, you've heard what he said. Let me ask you something. If you have somebody who is a person who says to you, you know, I'm rejected, I've been ridiculed and mocked, and I'm lonely. What would you say to a person that was telling you that? I mean, I want you to answer. What are some of the things you would say to somebody who called you and began to pour out their heart to you like that? What'd you say to them? This isn't helping. Them or me. What would you say to them? Do what? Okay. Hey, and that may be the best thing you do. Just give them a hug. Right. Right. Okay. But what you'd really do is you would comfort them, right? You would try to give them some kind of comfort or hope. Now, part of what we would use at a moment like that would be our own experiences. Now, what Jeremiah is saying is not anything that is foreign to us. We've all been right where Jeremiah is, maybe for different reasons. I would dare say that if we wanted to, every one of us could tell a story of being rejected. Now, maybe the first time we got rejected was by a boyfriend or girlfriend. And that might have turned out to be a good thing. I don't know. But it still hurt like crazy. She doesn't like me anymore, you know. It wasn't funny then, you know. But rejection hurts. Or maybe we went and applied for a job and we didn't get the job. Somebody else got it. We've been there. I've been there. But rejection hurts. And what Jeremiah's talking about, he's saying, I've been rejected by the people. They don't like me. Not only has he been rejected, he's being ridiculed. If you read all of it through that whole chapter, you'll find out that part of what he says is, listen, what we know about Jeremiah is this. It seems like Jeremiah was probably called to preach when he was 14. And he began to preach this message of the destruction of Judah for 40 years. Now, what the people have begun to say is, oh, man, here comes Jeremiah. Jeremiah, you've been preaching that same old message of destruction for 40 years, 38 years, whatever. And nothing's happened. Would you just please go away and be quiet? It hadn't happened. I believe God's not paying you any attention, Jeremiah. See, that's what he was going through. He preached and he preached and he preached. Nothing happened. If you read it, he's pretty distressed about that, you know. Kind of like, you know, Noah building the ark and he kept telling the people and they kept saying it's not even raining, it's not, and how long did it take him, 100 years or more, 120 years or something? The ridicule, the mocking. I don't know, some of you probably been ridiculed before. Maybe when you were growing up you were too short, or you were too tall, or you were too broad, or you were skinny, or maybe your knees were not kneed. You know, I remember all of these things happening as I was growing up. People were, you know, not kneed over there, you know, whatever, you know. And are your ears are too big or your nose is too big or whatever, you know. I mean, you just we all know what it is to be ridiculed for something. Well, Jeremiah was being ridiculed for some pretty serious stuff because he had been saying, God says, God says, God says, and nothing was happening. And the people were saying, and Jeremiah, God's not listening to you kind of stuff, you know. And so he had been rejected. He had known ridicule. And then what he's doing here, he says, you know what? I sit all alone. I sit all alone. Now, loneliness is... You put those first two along there, and you can kind of... I don't know. For some reason, I think the first two are easier to deal with than loneliness. Because when you're alone, you're just alone. There's nobody really to get mad at. Well, they did that to me. No, I'm just sitting all alone. And so Jeremiah says, here I am, sitting all alone. I don't know. I imagine that all of us are pretty normal in the sense that we have felt all of these things. The loneliness. And that's probably when we'd need a hug or someone just to be our friend or whatever. But what's interesting in this whole passage of Scripture is how God answers Jeremiah. Now, I want you to think about what we've just said and some of the things you just mentioned and some of the things you were thinking but didn't say out loud about what we would do with somebody who was struggling with some of these things and how we would try to assist them and give them hope and all of that. Now, what God does, He does not comfort Jeremiah. You know what He does? He challenges Jeremiah. Now, this is different. Whereas we try to comfort and reassure, God's going to do a little of the reassuring, but mainly what He's going to do, He's going to challenge Jeremiah. Let's look and see what it is. There are about five things here that I think we need to look at and see how God responds to Jeremiah's situation and all that's going on at that point. And therefore, the Lord says, now notice what He says there, if you return, then I will restore you. Before me you will stand. Now, I want you to understand what He says right there. He says, if you will return. Now, wait a minute. Lord, I've been preaching Your message for 40 years. I'm experiencing all of this bad stuff, the rejection and all that other stuff. And all you got to say to me is return. I want you to think about that for just a minute. Because rather than coming alongside and patting him on the head and saying, okay, Jeremiah, I understand you're upset, you're hurting, you're this, you're that. He says, Jeremiah, come back to me. Come back to me. And then I'll restore you. I had to think about that a little bit. Because you see, one of the things that we don't often do when things get difficult is we don't often think of those as opportunities to go back to God and let God teach us some new stuff. We're constantly asking God, like Jeremiah, we're praying, Lord, they rejected me. Lord, I'm all alone. Lord, this. And we're asking for direction and guidance. We don't generally go as far back as God is asking Jeremiah to go back and says, go back almost as if it were in the beginning and let me build you up. Let me restore you. See, he's wanting Jeremiah to come back to him, and he's wanting to grow Jeremiah's faith at this moment. And then you will stand before me. I think that we do know this, but sometimes we forget it, that we probably will grow more in the Lord in the difficult times than at any other point in our lives. If we will give God a chance. If in those difficult moments we will turn and go back to God and say, okay, God, what is it for me in this moment? What can I learn? How can I grow? And so he says, Jeremiah, I want to challenge you to come back to me. He didn't tell him to go anywhere. He says, come back to me. Come back to God. And so I think one of the things that we can do is we can constantly take people and refocus them on our Lord. Because therein is the first step. The second thing he says, and if you will extract the precious from the worthless, then you will become my spokesman. This is interesting. We struggle with this. Guys, we struggle with this. Every one of us does. Is what is the most important thing that we're to be about? He says, extract the precious from the worthless. In other words, figure out what is the most precious thing. What is the thing of most value? I say to churches and I say to believers, one of the things we have to do is, what is the major thing for us? You know, we do a lot of good things, but what is the major thing? What is the thing we should be doing that maybe we aren't? What is the thing among all the good things that ought to be the best thing that we're doing? And he's just simply saying to Jeremiah, as he's sitting here and all of this is this confusion, and he does, he's really struggling at this point. And it's why I like the Bible so much. It doesn't cover up the humanity of these people. And it just gives me a lot of hope, you know, because we all struggle and grope and search. And that's what Jeremiah's doing. And God just simply says, look, if you will give me a chance, and if you will look at everything in life, and if you will pick out those things that are so precious, the most important thing, then you can be my spokesman. I think sometimes we get so inundated. In the churches, you've heard me say this, the church is at fault in some of this. We give people so much to do that sometimes I think we forget to major on the major things because we are so busy. And that's all I think he's saying to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, you're worried about this and you're worried about that. And you've been, preaching all of these years. Now, I want you just to stop in the midst of all this, Jeremiah. And I want you to extract that which is most precious. We could talk about that for a good long while. And could talk about what are some of the most precious things that we ought to be majoring on in life. And of course, it gets right back to the most precious thing and the most important thing is our personal relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. I mean, that's where we ought to go. Go back to the cross. Go back to Christ. And spend time with Him and the Father and the Holy Spirit. That ought to be primary. But in our business, and I was just thinking about this even this afternoon, about since Wednesday, all the things that we've done and all the things that have happened, and we were supposed to be leaving town in the morning, and we had all these other things going on, and here I am sitting at the hospital at 1 o'clock in the morning, and here I am back again at 8 o'clock in the morning, and all this kind of stuff. And you know, all of a sudden, you got these things swirling around, and if you're not careful, you can lose sight of what's most precious and most important. And we do that in the church. She says, listen, extract that which is most precious. And that is, I think, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, then you can be my spokesman. And then you go to the next phrase, what the Lord says. He says, they for their part may turn to you. Now listen to this. He said, the people may turn to you, Jeremiah, but as for you, you must not turn to them. Now, what in the world? Now, he said, everybody's rejected me. I've been ridiculed. Nobody likes me or whatever. And now God says, listen, they may turn to you. They may turn to you. They may come to you, but you can't turn to them. What is God driving at? I'll tell you what I think he's doing. He's saying, Jeremiah, you've got to derive your strength. You've got to derive your self-worth, anything you want to put in there. You've got to derive that from me, your heavenly Father, and not from the people. Jeremiah, they may come to you. And you know, we could even say, you may even get a big crowd, Jeremiah, but you're not supposed to go to them. You're supposed to come to me. And that's what God's saying. He's saying, Jeremiah, even if all these people begin to surround you, you can't give yourself or draw your strength or draw your hope or encouragement from them. Now, he's not saying that as a total exclusion, because we know we encourage one another and we strengthen one another. But he's saying in the final analysis of what is most important, you've got to draw it from me, your heavenly Father, and not from them. And sometimes what we do as human beings, we find our simply saying, well, it's so and 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 we're trying to do this in relationship to one another, and the primary thing is our relationship to the Father through the Son. And that's what the Lord's saying to Jeremiah. I'm challenging you, Jeremiah. Don't turn to the people for all of your strength and all of that. Turn to me. And then he says to Jeremiah, a fortified wall of bronze, and then I will make you to this, then I will make you to this people, a fortified wall of bronze, and though they fight against you, they will not prevail over you. He says, Jeremiah, I'm going to be your strength. Jeremiah, I'm going to fortify you. Jeremiah, I'm the one you need to turn to, not the people. And when the people come against you, notice how that changed. When he says, even if the people come to you, don't rely on them, you've got to rely on me. He says, now when the people come against you, Jeremiah, I'm going to make you a wall of bronze, and they are not going to prevail. And so he challenges Jeremiah's faith to go all the way back. He begins to speak to Jeremiah about what's primary in his life, what's primary in his faith. He begins to challenge Jeremiah to find his strength and his self-worth in the Father and not in other people. And then he simply says, and I will make you a wall of bronze. In other words, Jeremiah, you may feel like you're a failure, but you aren't. You may feel like they've run over you, but they aren't, but they haven't. And you may feel this and you may feel that, but Jeremiah, you are going to be a wall of bronze and they will not prevail over you. Now, I'm sure when Jeremiah was sitting there alone, feeling maybe sorry for himself in some ways, that he thought, yeah, okay. But what about right now? You know? But Jeremiah, I'm going to make you a wall of bronze, and they will not prevail against you, even though they fight against you, which has been going on the whole time he's been preaching. And he goes from these thoughts, he goes into that last section of last part of 20 and 21. He goes into some promises. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. And I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grasp of the wicked. Now, he didn't say, Jeremiah, I'm sorry that you had such a hard time, and now I'm going to make it easy for you. He didn't say, Jeremiah, we should have done some things differently in the beginning. He doesn't say anything. He said, now, Jeremiah, here's what's going to happen. I am going to validate your words. I am going to let everything, and we know that eventually Judah did fall and was carried off into captivity, and everything Jeremiah said came to pass. And God says, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to deliver you out of the hands of the wicked. And if you'll read the rest of the story and find out, Jeremiah was saved from the captivity. He was allowed to stay part of the time. So God carried through on His promises. But He didn't come to Jeremiah with all of these words of comfort and everything. He came to challenge him at the very core of his faith. I was thinking about when I went, my little grandson did something wrong, and I was thinking about challenging someone rather than trying to come alongside them and you know, feel sorry with them. And so he was going to get punished. And he's going, Papa, I know you don't want to be punished, but you're going to get punished. You know, and so what I said to him was, I said, all right, Ethan, suck it up and take your punishment. I don't want to. but that's kind of what we do in challenging one another. You know, man up. You know. Stand up. Whatever it is, we want to say to one another, you know, don't sit there and whine. Don't do this. Don't do that. You know, take charge and be above this or whatever the case may be. And in a sense, that's what God is trying to do to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I know you're having a difficult time, but do you understand that you first of all got to get back with me? You've got to get with me because I've been your source for 40 years and I'll be your source right now, and I'm the only one you need to depend on. And then he goes through all those other things about what he's going to do. Well, Jeremiah returned. God blessed him, and God did bring judgment on Judah. One of the things that, as I said, that I like about the Scriptures is it does not make these folks appear to be perfect. None of the prophets were perfect. None of the prophets were without issues and challenges. And you know what, as I've read some of the biographies of some of the great preachers of the past, it's been interesting to understand who these people were as human beings. And I read the sermons of Dwight L. Moody, and I read about the great revivals he had, and I hear about, I read about all the things that were accomplished here and around in Europe as Moody would preach, and great numbers of people would come to know Christ. And if that's all you knew about Moody, you would just think, you know, that he was just this great guy and probably didn't have any problems. But did you know he was a manic depressive? He spent most of his life battling depression. It was said that Moody could leave the great the great halls there in London where tens of thousands of people would come and he'd have these great meetings and then within hours he would just be overcome with depression. Kind of like what Jeremiah's going through. And we said, well, what he did then, he would just go into a room by himself and get on his knees. That was the only way he was able to defeat it. Spurgeon, some of the same stuff. And as I went through studying the great preachers of history, it was over and over again. And then I go back and I look at Moses and Abraham and Elijah and all of the others. And for some of them, they could have felt like failures for all of the things that didn't go right. And they could have just simply wimped out and said, no, I quit. Jeremiah could have said, I quit. I've been doing this 30 years. I'm not doing it anymore. And sometimes we want to do that. And yet we can't, because God told us to keep on keeping on being faithful no matter what. And so as I look at Jeremiah and I look at all these other great preachers and saints of God through the ages, we are not without our blemishes, are we? We are not without our needs. We are not without our seemingly debilitating whatever it is in our lives. And yet it is in those moments that we need to do what God challenged Jeremiah to do. We need to go back and get with God just like Moody did. He'd go get on his knees and stay there till God got him back where he needed to be. I mean, that's just awesome. And every preacher and every person that's ever been there knows that the only way you do it is you go back to God. He said, Jeremiah, listen. Before me you'll stand. If you return to me, then I will restore you. Seems like a little harshness there for a guy who served you for 40 years. But God knew that what Jeremiah needed was God more than anything else. And so if you or somebody you know is struggling in life, I'll say to you what God said to Jeremiah. You need God more than anything else. You need the presence of God more than you need answered prayer. You need the presence of God more than you need, well, whatever else you could name. And so, while we want to comfort one another, while we should comfort one another, sometimes we need to hear the word of the Lord and say, what you need to do is just come back to me. Because that's what we really need to do. Jeremiah was one of those prophets that had maybe more trouble than anybody else. And in my view, as a human, he had the right to be sitting there whining. But God said, I'm not going to put up with you whining. Come on back. Get it straightened out. You can be my mouthpiece, which is exactly what the Hebrew says. So when you and I get down, what are we going to do? We're going to go back to the Lord. We're going to go back and we're going to stay there till things are settled. Father, thank you for great men like Moody and Spurgeon and others. Thank you for prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel and all of the others. And thank you, Lord, that you know they weren't perfect. They struggled with the same emotions and issues that we did, whether it's ridicule, rejection, or whatever. Thank you for your challenge to Jeremiah. And tonight, let it be a challenge to us that whatever our needs are in life, that we'll return to you. And then, Lord, take us from this place that we can serve you better than we've ever served you before. Thank you, Lord, just for loving us and allowing us to be your children. And always remind us, without you, we are nothing and we can do nothing. In Jesus' name.